You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Those mail-in ballots could have been for anybody. Those mail-in ballots could have been for anybody they wrote in. Those mail-in ballots could have been written the day before by the Democratic Party hacks that were all over the convention center. What I'm saying to you is not a single one was inspected, as the law required.
Those are the words of Rudy Giuliani, President Trump's attorney, as they move forward with challenges across the nation on various states and their voting procedures. This is November 11, 2020, Veterans Day, and we thank all of you veterans. Trump wins Alaska. There's no surprise there. Three electoral votes, but every vote will count. Georgia now looking at a hand count of the ballots that they have. Well, that's going to be time-consuming, obviously. They're taking up something like 5 million to count. It is so close in that state that the Secretary of State ruling that election officials will conduct a manual recount of all presidential ballots, Biden leading in the state by just over 14,000 votes out of nearly 5 million counted. And again, that state has 16 electoral votes. And in Arizona, Joe Biden's lead in Arizona continues to shrink as they go through the votes that they're still bringing in and counting. I don't know where they're coming from. But his lead now is down to less than 13,000. Arizona, the very state that got called so early the evening by Fox News and AP, saying Arizona is going to Biden. Well, not so fast. Trump is challenging results in 5 states. Poll watchers being denied access, votes dumped in the middle of the night, illegal votes cast, not being able to find out if they're legit votes or not. Will all this be enough? Maybe not. It's an uphill battle. And just because you can prove some voter fraud here and there, is it going to be a systemic issue? And is it going to be enough to amount to overturning some votes? I'm not pessimistic, but I'm not overly optimistic about it either. I do want what's legal. That's all. Legal. The left does not want legal. Let me verify that for you. The left does not want legal. You want a perfect example? New York Times columnist now encouraging voter fraud. Direct major fraud in the votes coming up in Georgia for the U.S. Senate race, and some major Democrats are signing on. It is clear voter fraud that they're planning. I'll detail that as we go through the next 2 hours. And, of course, we have the story of the whistleblowers. So many whistleblowers coming forward now, I don't think the left can shut down all of them. Now, one of them, the Washington Post, put out a story saying he has recanted his remarks. He says, no, I didn't. I did not recant anything. I'm sticking with my story the way I told it to begin with. Does admit he's under a lot of pressure. A lot of guys trying to play with his head a little bit and his job. This one, a particular U.S. Postal Service worker. And then you got those inside the ballot counting that are coming forward. Will they have the proof we need? I don't know. Dr. Gerard Lamero is going to join us on the imploding Democrat Party as progressives try to take full control of the Biden-Harris ticket party moving forward. And Dr. Lamero, again, he said the other day he's going to have to review his model, find out why he totally missed this number as it came down for Biden as it stands now. But even corrected, it won't approach the numbers he expected. I'm going to get into that as well with him. And do you remember when Congressman Jerry Nadler, Democrat in New York, said paper ballots are an open invitation for fraud? No? Well, I'll remind you, and Congressman Nadler, do you remember when Joe Biden said during a debate he would not declare he was a winner until the votes were certified? Maybe you do. Joe Biden doesn't remember that. But we've got evidence coming up. So Jerry Nadler admitting at one time paper ballots are an open invitation for fraud. And now look where he stands on that issue. And Joe Biden saying just during one of the recent debates. I will not declare I'm a winner until all the votes are certified. We're not there. They get certified in December. Oh, Joe Biden, you are getting a message that has already been sent by Black Lives Matter. The leader of Black Lives Matter is sending word to Joe Biden. We were there. We supported you. We turned out the vote. We want to be paid. That is pretty direct. We want to be paid for delivering votes. What do they have in mind? We'll break down some of Joe Biden's plans already for his cabinet if he gets into office. We've got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. You do not want to miss any of it. And once again, veterans, thank you for your service. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand, and Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Vice President Biden, final question for you. Will you urge your supporters to stay calm while the vote is counted, and will you pledge not to declare victory until the election is independently certified?
Yes, and here's the deal. We count the ballots, as you pointed out. Some of these ballots in some states can't even be opened until Election Day. And if there's thousands of ballots, it's going to take time to do it.
That's Joe Biden in the first presidential debate. As Chris Wallace of Fox News asked him, would you pledge not to run and say immediately, I have won, when the ballots are still not certified? And you heard his answer. Yes, I will wait. We know it's going to take time. And yet they're not willing to wait. They want to spike the ball. They're really trying to sell you something right now. Biden might well be the winner when it's all said and done. I'm not saying he's not. But why are they rushing so much to stop any recount, to stop any legal challenge? And I'm talking about legal challenges. Why are they so rushing forward to spike the football and stop the clock on everything and just declare it's over? The more they fight and resist, the more I question, what are you hiding? Why don't you want a full, transparent vote? It's set in stone by the U.S. Constitution. The Electoral College will meet in December and make the decision. So we still have time. We still have a lot of time before the states have to certify and send it on to Congress, and then the Electoral College will take it over and certify. But they don't want to wait. And in fact, while you hear Joe Biden in that statement and that debate, as Chris Wallace asked him, saying, I'll wait, he's now saying it's kind of embarrassing that Trump isn't conceding. Well, now, that brings me to someone else you want to talk about kind of embarrassing. How about Hillary Clinton? Oh, yes, she conceded the night of the election. And after that, you talk about buyer's remorse over and over. She said, it was not fair. And it had to be the Russians. I mean, it had to be, you know, a fly on the wall. I don't know what it was, but something went wrong. But, of course, they didn't have legal challenges because there were really no challenges. They won the popular vote, which is what she says. See, we won that. Their challenge was to the Electoral College. It's not any good anymore because we didn't win. Now they are standing by the Electoral College saying, we have the electoral count. We've got 20 votes more than the Biden needs. We are at 290. He only needs 270. So, yeah, it's over. Well, it is, but it isn't. There are legal challenges. I cannot stress that enough. Those who want Trump out and you hate him so much, go ahead, be a hater. But look at the law. The law in each of the states and how it's applied and what's been done, and look at voter fraud issues. I'll get into some of them in a moment, but again, as I said in the opening monologue, the Georgia Secretary of State now says it's just too close. Out of 5 million votes counted, Biden leads by just over 14,000. We're going to do a manual recount of all those ballots. And he says, this is a process. It is a process. Listen, please. Defined by law. These men and women in my office will continue to follow the law and count every legal vote. Again, that's a key phrase. Legal vote. He said it's a heavy lift, but we will work with the counties to get this done in time for our state certification, which is November 20th. So they got at least 9 days. And, of course, Trump is waging battles in other states, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Nevada. And I remind you again, North Carolina, they're not going to say they're through counting until tomorrow. Or wait a minute. Yep, tomorrow's still Thursday, right? I lost track of the calendar for a moment. They're not going to be done until tomorrow. That's what they're saying. And there's a legitimate reason to question what's happening in Arizona. Arizona was the state called so early in the evening by Fox News and the Associated Press. And when the poll watcher forecasters for Fox News was on the air, was asked about why are you calling Arizona so quickly? He said, well, there's what we see out there, the numbers, there's no way he can make it up, that Trump can make it up. It goes to Biden. And then what about Florida? I mean, Florida was very evident early in the evening. Why didn't you call that? Well, it's one of those we just don't have the right feeling about it yet. Feeling? I'm probably misinterpreting what he said, but the bottom line was they didn't want to call the state that was going to go to Trump, but they were rushing forward to call the state for Joe Biden. And I just told you in the opening monologue, as they go through the count of what they've got, and they're taking a closer look at it, and some of the votes coming in still, I mean, votes that are still being opened again. I don't know exactly what they're doing in Arizona. Thank God a legal team for the Trump team is inside looking at it. But the lead is down to 13,000. Biden leads by 13,000. One of the county's latest reports included something like 5,200 votes, 56% of those went to Trump, 41% to Biden. 47,000 ballots still outstanding. Trump will need to take 64% of the remaining votes in order to take Biden's lead and the state's electoral votes. And then, of course, the Trump campaign filing a lawsuit against Michigan, claiming that we were not allowed to have sufficient access. We were blocked from having sufficient view of the vote counting process. Challenges against certain ballots ignored. As a result, ineligible ballots were tallied. That's in Michigan. Don't forget in Pennsylvania, they had something like 670,000 votes. Let's just roll it back. Let's go 600,000. I think it was closer to 670. 600,000 ballots being counted with no poll watchers in the room. They had been ousted. Or they went out to file a complaint, and then they wouldn't let them back in. 600,000 ballots in Pennsylvania. I want to know about those votes. We're talking about paper ballots. Are they really easy to change or not? Well, we've got whistleblowers discussions coming up in the second hour. And one of the poll employees says, I couldn't have changed anything if I wanted to. That's her story, just like the whistleblowers have their story. We're going to come down on where are the facts. And there may be facts on both sides. And yet, what story is in result? But I want to take you back to Congressman Jerry Nadler, currently the House Judiciary Committee chairman. He's already upset at Trump for slamming Michigan's mail-in ballots. He's been upset with how Trump is responding and saying you're not accepting the fact that we know what we're doing and the paper ballots are they're just fine, mail-in, all that stuff, because a lot of them were mailed in, obviously were paper ballots. But let's go back to 2004. 2004, in a congressional hearing, Congressman Nadler at that time was not the committee chairman. That was Chairman John Conyers, Democrat of Michigan at the time. And Nadler said, I have suspicions about paper ballots.
In my experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. And at least with the old clunky voting machines that we have in New York, The deliberate fraud is way down compared to paper. When the machines break down and they vote on paper, we've had real problems.
Did you hear that? I'm going to let you hear it again. I'm going to put more context on in a moment. But Jerry Nadler admitting in 2004, paper ballots, they're susceptible to fraud. I'll remind you again, the massive mail-in ballot campaign because of the COVID scare, and is pushed and promoted by the DNC and other Democrats across the nation. If you're afraid to go, just request a ballot. We'll send it to you and mail it back. That's a legal process, unless it's abused. And, of course, one thing they always want to point to, military has been doing that. They always send mail-in ballots in. Yes, they do, but they go to specific locations where those military personnel are stationed and to that specific military member. At least that's the way it's supposed to be done. They fill it out, they send it back. And some of those ballots are slow coming back. They admit they're going to take, and I think at some point they're going to have to say, we're going to have to put an earlier deadline on the mail-in ballots for military. But aside from that, they want to hold that up and say, see, it happens all the time and there's no fraud there. Well, I don't know there's no fraud there. I'm willing to say it probably isn't. But the difference between that is they are sending them to specifics who are in the military, and that's why they're getting them, because they're stationed out of the country. And yet they're entitled to vote. What they've been doing in California and elsewhere, sending out multiple ballot applications, even if folks didn't ask, and in some cases also sending out actual ballots, the actual ballot, paper, the very thing Jerry Nadler says is subject to fraud. And the ballots going out to addresses that someone might have lived in 4 years ago. It's an apartment. Now, since that time, two or three other people have lived in that apartment, listed that as their address in voter registration or driver's license. So you get four to five, maybe seven ballots all showing up at the same apartment. Now, someone who's lawful and not trying to cause trouble will take the ballots intended for them and junk the rest. Or, if they're not so lawful and legal, then they will find another way around it. Once again, Jerry Nadler, his concern about paper ballots as expressed in 2004. Now, in this hearing, you're also going to hear a woman describing herself as a freelance journalist who focused on voting issues. And she said an MIT study found hand-counted paper ballots to be the most reliable ways to vote. Nadler disagreed.
In my experience in New York, paper ballots are extremely susceptible to fraud. And at least with the old clunky voting machines that we have in New York, the deliberate fraud is way down compared to paper. When the machines break down and they vote on paper, we've had real problems. So there's got to be a way. I'm simply observing that as a problem. There's got to be a way of getting the best of our methodologies.
But in fact, the MIT studies have shown that hand-counted paper ballots are among the most reliable. And at least if there's a miscount, you can discover it. You can't discover miscounts with these machines.
Well, then maybe optical scan with paper. I want a paper trail. I want paper somewhere. But pure paper with no machines, I can show you experience which would make your head spin.
So Jerry Nadler admits his head was spinning when he saw how some paper ballots got handled in the past. Huh. But they're all okay now. Rasmussen report, one of the most accurate pollsters of the 2016 and 2020 presidential elections. A new report out says that 59% of likely voters are concerned increased use of voting by mail will lead to more vote fraud. 59% of likely voters. Only 27% not at all concerned. I should say, yeah, are not all concerned. And then 13% not very concerned. But let me make it clear to you again. 59% of likely voters say, yeah, we fear increased voting by mail will lead to more voter fraud. You do not have to be an expert in voting and elections to understand that. If ballots are being sent out all over to anyone that requested or did not request them, and then they're all coming back and they may be going to addresses where people died years ago, that opens the door to fraud. Does it mean fraud? Not necessarily. All right, Black Lives Matter, making it clear to Joe Biden, one of the first things you're going to do when you get in, you're going to pay us. You're going to pay us, Joe. I'll read the letter being sent to Vice President-elect, President-elect Biden.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, here it is. I have a copy of the letter that Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors sent to Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden and running mate Kamala Harris after several media outlets had declared them winners in the election against President Trump. The letter signed by Cullors on behalf of the Black Lives Matter Global Network. It began by congratulating Biden and Harris on their reported victory. And then jump to the key point. Here it is. Without the resounding support of black people, we would be saddled with a very different electoral outcome. In short, black people won this election. Alongside black-led organizations around the nation, Black Lives Matter invested heavily in this election. Vote and organize became our motto. And our electoral justice efforts reach more than 60 million voters. We want something for our vote. Let me break that down for you. I have not seen the breakout demographics on black, white, Latino at this point, but we also know Latino vote was extremely big in the election. Now, did how much it did or did not help Biden, we're still waiting to see. We know in Florida, it was very big for Trump. And there are also numerous black Americans that voted for Trump as well. And I have no problem with a group that, you know, once they help get a candidate in, yeah, they say, you know, we want all of something. Now, you expect that to happen. It's not a matter that they're going to extort and demand. At least, let me rephrase that. They should not be extorting and demanding. But I got to tell you, the tone of that letter, you could take say, well, Larry, you read it kind of harshly. The word stand, maybe I read it harshly, maybe you would read it differently, maybe you'd say, you know, without the resounding support of black people, we would be saddled with a very different electoral outcome. In short, black people won this election. And we want something for our vote. Okay, that's more conciliatory. You like that? Does it not come down to the same thing? We want to be paid for what we delivered. Maybe it's going to be a cabinet position somewhere for Cullors or somebody. I don't know. Biden already, while he's still saying you know, we're going to let it all play out, and I'm ashamed that Trump has already admitted it. He's already moving forward to pick his cabinet, and he's saying we may be in a position to know a couple before Thanksgiving. I hope they do, because the moment they start naming them, then we can start investigating them. And Biden might be looking at Democrat Senator Doug Jones of Alabama, who just lost to Republican challenger Tommy Tuberville in last week's election. And then you got Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, mentions a potential candidate for attorney general as well. You've got Democrat National Committee Chair Tom Perez may also be in running for that position. Treasury Senator Elizabeth Warren. Yeah, she wants to control the purse strings. Good luck with where you are on your taxes now between her and what the other guy would do. You know who I'm talking about. Bernie Sanders, you know exactly what will happen to your taxes. And Susan Rice, the one who lied about Benghazi, she may be on for some big position. All right. Also, Biden's already indicated first executive actions will rejoin Paris Climate Agreement, reinstate deferred action for childhood arrivals, rejoin the World Health Organization, repeal Trump's travel and ban targeting majority Muslim nations. And he doesn't say we'll probably open the border, tear the wall down, let everybody come in. Is that where you want this country to go? We'll take a break and we'll come back, joined by Dr. Gerard Lamero and the implosion of the Democrat Party.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, we have had previous talks numerous times over the years with Dr. Gerard Lamero, a model forecaster, accurately predicting in January 2016 that Trump was going to win the primary and then go on and win the election. And he was very close on the electoral count. This time around, he had predicted that Trump would win with 300 and, let me get the number. I don't want to misquote Dr. Lamero. Dr. Lamero is on the line. Welcome, sir.
Hi. Great to be with you.
Yeah, I want to go back over this very quickly for the folks. You forecast 348.
348 to 190.
348 to 190, yeah, and I have it in front of me. And when we left off last time and had this discussion, you said you were going to go back and look at your model, see what did you miss, and have you come up with a solution on that yet or what you know?
Well, it looks to me like my forecast was very accurate. There may have been one or two states I missed on, which I question, but actually most of them are correct, and I think Donald Trump won this election. I think it was stolen.
Dr. Merrill, I'm a big fan and everything, but I cannot let that go simply unchallenged. Sure. When you say you were mostly correct, 348 is a long way from where he stands now, and he's not anywhere near 270 at this point. I hear what you're saying about stolen. But are you saying that's the difference?
Well, what I'm saying is I did predict New Hampshire that they gave to Biden, but I question that one because I don't think it's accurate either. It wasn't in 2016. I gave it to him then, and people gave it to Hillary by about 400 votes when there are 5,000 votes in question.
So there are pockets that you were still right on target, and you think combined – The model, your
right
projection effort. Go ahead.
Yeah, right now I have them at roughly 320 electoral votes. If the votes were counted accurately, and I don't think they are, and I think you will see a reversal in Georgia. I think you'll see a reversal in Pennsylvania. I think you'll see a reversal in Michigan. And I also think that North Carolina should already have been called.
That I agree with. They're not even going to report that until tomorrow, and yet the numbers are there. And the other point before I get back to the other subject I want to discuss with you while we're on this, and that was the states you just listed. There are legal challenges underway. Folks, again, these are legal challenges. Whether or not you're a Trump supporter or Trump hater, they have a right to make these challenges. And in Georgia, like you said, they've decided now 5 million votes, only 16,000, 14,000 separating them. They're going to do a hand count. we may well see some numbers change in turn.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget, some of the problems that exist in Pennsylvania, for example, them ignoring state law in Pennsylvania, you know, the legislature of each state set up the laws for that state, and they control election laws. In Pennsylvania, those laws were flaunted by the Democrats. And that's not right.
Well, on top of that, their state Supreme Court actually wrote the legislation to extend the ballot time being turned in. That's a legislative action under Article 25 of the Constitution for the state to do, not the court.
That's right. And you know what else? That makes them unconstitutionally voted, and it means they're going to be thrown out. Because once the Supreme Court gets a hold of that, I don't see there's any way that five constitutional conservatives that now make up the majority of the Supreme Court are going to do anything but throw those ballots out, which is going to give Trump the win by about 300,000 votes. And my prediction was he was going to win by 250,000 votes in Pennsylvania.
All right.
So right on target.
We'll continue to monitor that. We don't have the Electoral College until December 14th casting their decision. Now, back to an issue that I really want to get into with you because you've done a good job at documenting all these challenges, and that is you've also talked previously, as you had declared going into 2016 election, the GOP party would never be the same again. And you said the same thing about the Democrat Party was going to come undone, and we continue to see it. As of right now, you got Joe Biden and Harris, and I just was reading through some of the things he's already planning on doing, and inside the party itself, it still seems they're imploding.
Yes, they are. And I think that once Trump is actually gets officially reelected by the Electoral College, I think they'll really blow up. I think they're going to be so furious with the, if you will, the traditional establishment Democrats. Biden, Hillary Clinton were part of the establishment Democrats. And they are so mad at them if they lose another presidential election. They can put up with Biden and figure they can get him to do whatever they want by twisting his arm. But I think when they find out Trump has actually won, they're going to be furious, and that's going to help to put the rift between them so large it'll break apart.
And I think most of us acknowledge that Joe Biden didn't win because he's Joe Biden. It's because he had Kamala on the ticket with him. And
they had to have
a progressive, and in this case they made it clear to him, you had to pick a woman, it better be a black woman.
Yeah, but actually, I'm not sure she really helped. I mean, he was going to carry California no matter what.
True.
Because that state is so off on their elections, and they have so many problems with their elections being accurate. They're a model for what happened to the rest of the country this time, or a lot of states this time. But I will tell you this. I think that Biden got what the Wall Street Journal said. He got a mandate for not being Trump.
Yeah, I had not seen that. That's right. I like that. Because I was already saying the other day when they were claiming a mandate, they said, you don't have a mandate. So they say he got a mandate for not being Trump. Well, that I'd have to agree with.
Well, yeah, because he basically didn't campaign on any issues. He didn't say, I'm going to do Medicare for all. He didn't say, I'm going to establish socialism in the United States. He didn't say anything, basically, except I'll have a better plan than Trump did on COVID.
So,
and I'm not Trump.
Yeah, that's true. And so Senator Manchin of West Virginia yesterday, we played a lot of his interview talking about, hey, I'm not going to be for this crazy stuff. I'm not going to go for it that they want. In the Senate, I will stand tall. And Ted Cruz says he won't be able to stand that tall. Schumer put a lot of pressure on him. I also had quotes we were running in sound bites yesterday from Missouri Congressman Cleaver of the 5th District of Missouri, the western side of the state, Kansas City. He said, my people around here, they don't want the stuff that this far left people, Green Deal and all they're talking about. I mean, they're already standing up. Now, whether or not they can withstand the tsunami that's coming at them, I don't know.
I think the party is going to break apart. I've been saying it for a long time, for years. I've been saying, you know, when I wrote Great News for America, it was 2015 when I wrote the book, and I said this party is going to come to an end.
Yeah.
And after that, I said, I think it'll be 2021 after the presidential election. And you can see how mad they are at Nancy Pelosi because she lost seats in the House. Didn't quite get enough seats won by the Republicans to retake the House, but I think the remaining ones that we didn't retake will probably retake in 2 years, especially if they see the policies if Biden gets in. If Biden's not in.
And I pointed out what he's already said he's going to do. He's going to, by executive action, rejoin Paris Climate Agreement. rejoin the World Health Organization, which would also include in that part funding for organizations, international funding for organizations to promote abortion and other abortion-related policies. I mean, they got a lot of things that are not going to sit well with the general Democrat Party members.
And you're forgetting his premier policy, and that is everybody wears a mask when they walk out of their house.
Yep, that's true. Now,
and there are lots of places with no deaths and no coronavirus, and they don't need masks. That's absurd.
So AOC, again, the other day, made it very clear, because when a Virginia congresswoman nearly escaped being defeated, she was crying out in a conference call, "We got to stop this talk about defunding police and things like that, because that cost us a lot of good people in this election." And AOC comes back and says, "No, you moderate milquetoast Democrats are the reason you didn't do well." My words,
well,
not
see,
hers.
There's the battle. There's the fault line right down the middle. And I think it's really going to come to a head. I say a couple of months it'll take, and you'll see the end of the Democratic Party. Finally, it's been going on for many, many years, and the Whigs went away eventually. I think the Democrats are going away.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time to be with us, and I tell the audience all the time, you're more than willing to stand up to hard questions as we begin, and I always appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, well, I like to be honest and tell you what I believe. You know, I base my stuff on numbers and my research, and you know, I think it's possible that the New Hampshire actually did go for Trump. That would get him over 320 and a little closer to 348. But I might have missed one or two states.
All right. We'll book you again for another review, okay?
And we should also review after Trump is elected.
Oh, we will. I will guarantee you we will.
Okay, good.
Dr. Lamero, as always, we appreciate it.
You betcha. Bye
Dr.
Now.
Gerard Lamero. Yeah, we're talking about some of the things that we're going to see pushed by with the socialist agenda, the very liberal agenda, if it goes forward, as it supposedly will at this point with Biden-Harris. Let me point this out to you. Massachusetts House Speaker is pushing for a vote this week on an amendment for the annual budget bill that would codify abortion rights into state law in Massachusetts. It would legalize abortions until birth, allow abortionists to deny care to infants who survive the procedure. Did you just hear what I said? Once again, if passed, the measure would legalize abortions after 24 weeks of pregnancy, allow a loophole for girls under the age of 16 to obtain an abortion without the consent of their parents. You Democrats listening, do you really want to go down that road? That's what they're going to be pushing across the nation. It would also allow non-physicians to perform abortions. And allow, I'm sorry to say this, it would also allow abortionists to deny life-saving medical care to an infant who survives the abortion. That's in Massachusetts. They're going to codify it into law. That's their intent. That is what they want to see across the nation. Across our nation. Come back. James Carville says, let's recount the votes. I'm all for that.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise. Playing in the street. Gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face. You big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I urge him to recount everywhere. Beat him twice. I'm not satisfied with beating him once. Recount till you drop. I don't care. Please recount everything. You know, it's always good to go after you beat somebody, beat him again. That's what we did. That's what the Saints did to Tampa Bay. We beat him, and then we came back Sunday night, and we beat him again. The same thing is going to happen when they recount these votes. He's going to lose twice.
That's James Carville, Louisiana, who, of course, was a political advisor for Bill Clinton, helping him get into the office, and they still considered a Democrat strategist. MSNBC puts him on a lot. Well, I'm glad they do. I think he's entertaining at the very least. I do like the accent. I mean, I'm not going to make fun of it. I'm just telling you, I like his accent. I like the way James talks. I do. I got a lot of Louisiana Cajun friends. I like them, and not far from South Texas accents in some cases. But he says, go ahead, recount them. I don't care. Beat Trump twice. Well, we'll see if that happens. There is already evidence on the horizon that the tech companies and the mainstream media are going to go all in for Biden. I mean, that should be no surprise to you. And they will continue to go after Trump supporters. They will continue to go after them. They've already been talking about it. I mean, what was it, Don Lemon fruitcake the other day, or was it Chris Cuomo? I don't recall. One of those idiots suggesting that, hey, you better reconsider, you know, how's this going to look for any job applications this day if you were a Trump supporter and you lost and you're not buying? I mean, in other words, are they going to put up a blacklist? They might well do that. Let me give you an example. The New York Times tech writer, Kevin Roos, went after Facebook for allowing stories that, quote, are 100% accurate to rise to the 10 most engaged stories on the platform over the last 24 hours. And he's saying that Facebook is teeming with right-wing misinformation. Well, I'm sure Facebook doesn't think so. Well, we wouldn't do that. Well, this guy, the tech writer for the New York Times, is blaming Facebook for allowing stories to rise to the 10 most engaged on the platform of the last 24 hours. He linked four stories. Here they are. One from the Daily Wire. Republican Michigan goes from loser to winner after technical glitch fixed. Officials urge confidence in the system. Another story from Breitbart News. A.G. William Barr authorizes DOJ to look into voting irregularities. And then from, it's copied up here. I can't tell who this came from. It got torn at this point. But Michigan legislature holds rare emergency session to investigate election irregularities. Another one from Breitbart News. Purdue, Loeffler call on Georgia Secretary of State to resign over the election. Nick Nolte of Breitbart pointed these out. He said all four of those stories are news stories. They're actually reporting on events that happen. They're informing readers of what's going on. A Republican in Michigan did win after a glitch was found. It's a fact that happened. The Attorney General did authorize his staff to look at voting irregularities. That's a fact. It happened. We've all reported on it. I say we all. I don't know what the mainstream media – well, I think the mainstream media did and then quickly added that one of his lawyers quickly resigned saying this is not right what he's doing. But they had to report it to some extent. And then the other story, Michigan legislature did hold an emergency session about election irregularities. Again, a fact. And both of Georgia's Republican U.S. Senate candidates, Loeffler and Purdue, did call on the Georgia Secretary of State to resign. It's a fact. But the New York Times writer says that's all misinformation. What? It's not disinformation. You may not like it. You may have problems with what's happening, but can you continually, and I'm asking a question that I know I'm wasting my time and your thoughts as well, can you actually condemn stories that are absolute fact in your face? I mean, is it going to get to the point where we're going to be told, as you're looking at the sun overhead at noon, the sun did not come up today? No, I see it right there. No, it didn't. But I said, no, you don't see it. You got it in your mind from yesterday. It's not there. Oh, come on, Larry, you're just going over. You're way off. Well, way, really? If you're going to take any fact and start restating it because it doesn't fit your agenda, and we've already seen them do that, or now you're going to take facts and say it's propaganda when it's an actual fact, a legitimate story. The public already has a lot of distrust in the media and the stories they're getting. And now you've got a left-wing writer at the New York Times, which is no great bastion of conservatism anyway, saying anything that I don't like, I will label as misinformation, even if it's fact. It may be fact, but it's misinformation. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't. Coming up in the next hour, whistleblower stories. Now, how are any of them made up? Are they all true? Are they fake? And what's going on behind the scenes? And then the word going around and being made very public by a main CNN anchor, Trump is just a dead man walking. And all of you guys still behind Trump, you're a bunch of zombies. Well, this should get interesting. It's coming up in the next hour. Let your family and friends know we're on the air. I do appreciate it. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.